Shalom. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I'm taking a moment to share some important information about Congregation Shema Yisrael. We're following the leading of the Holy Spirit to purchase a new facility for our congregation in the heart of the Jewish community of Rochester, New York. We've experienced several miraculous confirmations that this purchase is God's plan to make us more effective in our outreach to the Jewish community here. Our previous facility has been sold, and we are meeting in rented quarters until we close on the new facility at the end of 2020. Through the generous donations of our regular attenders, we've raised a significant part of the funds that will be needed to close, but we also need your help. If you've been blessed by our podcast, please pray for us and ask the Lord, what do you want to do through me to accomplish your will for Congregation Shema Yisrael? If you pray this prayer and do what God leads you to do in faith, we will succeed in purchasing this facility and become much more effective in reaching the Jewish people of Rochester with the life-saving good news of Messiah Yeshua. To participate, please visit shematime.org. That's shematime.org, where you can learn more about this amazing move of God and support us by clicking the donate button. Thank you, and may the Lord richly bless you as you listen to this podcast.
Let's just take a minute and pray. So, Father, we thank you for this time when we can look into your word. We thank you that your word is powerful and it is life-changing. And we lift up our hearts to you also this morning, Lord. And we just pray that we would be hearers and doers of your word, and that we would receive it, we would understand it, it would become a part of our hearts and minds, and it would bring us into a place of greater peace in our walk with you. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. So as Judith mentioned earlier, we are approaching Tisha B'Av, which is just, 4 days away, Thursday, 5 days away. And this is, if you're not familiar with it, this is a very serious time. This is a time when, over the past history, the people of Israel have suffered great tragedies, starting out with the spies coming back and refusing to go up in the land, and then the destruction of the both temples on the same day, and even things that were decided during the Holocaust, like the Final Solution, happening on this day, and a bunch of others in between. I think I did a study once and counted 13 things. So we're going to be praying on Tisha B'Av for protection for the Jewish people, that there would not be any tragedy this year. But also, the days leading up to the 9th of Av, which started with Rosh Chodesh, are called the days that we are between the straits. And that's a little bit of a confusing statement, but what it's referring to is the expression that we use often, that some people are, sometimes we're in dire straits. Well, it actually comes from navigation. It's when you're navigating a ship and you're between two places where there's rocks and you got to get through the strait there. And so that's what it's about in these days, that we're kind of in a place of like holding our breath, of saying, praying that nothing traumatic will happen this year. And of course, so many traumatic things have happened already this year that I want to encourage you to be in prayer for that. So that's what's coming up. And in light of that, I am going to start out with some humor because we need to be lifted up a little bit. Everybody ready for that? Okay. A woman who was a divorcee died and found herself standing outside the pearly gates, being greeted by Rabbi Kepha. Anybody know who Rabbi Kepha is? That's how you say St. Peter in Hebrew. And she asked him, "Oh, is this place what I really think it is? It's so beautiful. Did I really make it to heaven?" To which Peter replied, "Yes, my dear, these are the gates of heaven, but you must do one more thing before you can enter." The woman was very excited and asked Peter what she must do to pass through the gates. "Spell a word," he said. "What word?" she asked. "Any word," answered Peter. "It's your choice." The woman promptly replied, "Then the word I will spell is love, L-O-V-E. Peter congratulated her on her good fortune to have made it to heaven and asked her if she would mind taking his place at the gates for a few minutes while he went to the restroom. I'd be honored, she said, but what should I do if someone comes while you're gone? Peter reassured her and instructed her to simply have any newcomers to the pearly gates spell a word, as she had done. So the woman left, sitting in Peter's chair, watching the beautiful angel soaring around her. And when lo and behold, a man approached the gates, and she realized it's her ex-husband. What happened? She cried. Why are you here? Her ex stared at her for a moment and then said, I was so upset when I left your funeral that I was in an accident. And now I'm here. Did I really make it to heaven? To which the woman replied, not yet. You must spell a word first. What word? He asked. And the woman responded, Czechoslovakia. Okay. Can I get somebody to remove this here for a moment? John, would you do that? Thank you. All right. So last week's Torah portion was Matot Masai, actually two Torah portions for 1 week. And in the second part of it, in Masai, there was a section on vows. I guess it was the first part in Matot. And specifically, there was a section that dealt with a wife making a vow which her husband believes is a rash vow. She said something that she shouldn't have vowed. So I'm going to read to you from the scroll over here of Numbers chapter 30 and verse 12, and I believe we'll have it up on the screen there in Hebrew and in English and in Spanish and in Russian. So here we go. Vo'im hafer yafer otam isha. If her husband nullifies bayom Shma'o, on the day he heard it, kol motsa svetaya, all the words that came out of her mouth, l'nidireha, regarding vows, u'le'isar nafsha, that she has put upon herself, lo yakum, they shall not stand, isha ha'ferim, her husband has nullified them, v'adonai Yishlak la, and the Lord will release her from the vows. So this little passage here, if you didn't quite get it all, it is that a wife's vows can be negated or canceled by her husband. If he says they are negated on the same day he hears about them. And this also holds for a single daughter living at home under her father's authority. And as I was praying this week about what to share, I saw that this relates to what the Bible means when it says husbands are to be the head of families. And it's a way of headship that we don't often think about. We think about having the ability to, you know, to say what happens, but the head of the family is responsible and for all that happens in the family before God. And the head of the family's covering protects the family, in this case, protecting his wife from a rash vow. And it's so powerful that it says here, if the husband simply says, I negate that vow, God will release the woman from the vow. And if you've studied the Torah, you know that there's a lot of very, very serious things about vows in the Torah that you have to keep them. So this is an amazing to me way in which it can be released. And the Bible, as I was thinking about this, I see how big it is on the importance of the family and the role of the head of the family. And also it emphasizes the respect for authority that is taught in the Bible. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 21, Moses commanded that an adult son who would not listen to his parents was to be stoned to death. Pretty serious for not obeying the authority. So a couple of years ago, our leadership in the congregation participated in a course about authority, godly authority, called Undercover. And it was taught by John Bevere and facilitated by Pastor Tom. And I highly recommend this course or the book that John Bevere wrote of the same title. At some point, we'd like to offer the course for everyone. But there was one session of the course that brought all of us who were taking it to very deep conviction and then repentance. And the Holy Spirit directed me to share that for the rest of the congregation today because it is currently a very timely subject for what we are all experiencing today. And John Bevere's title, Undercover, refers to being under the covering of God's authority. And when you're under his covering, there is protection, blessing, guidance. And when you're not under his covering, you're in danger. You're in danger from Satan, from temptation, and from your own flesh. So I think you will all agree with me that we are living at a time when there is a great deal of disrespect for authority. Anybody agree with that? And dealing with biblical authority is a very big subject, so I'm just going to focus on one small part of it, but I believe it will clear up some very big confusion that many people have. And the one part we're going to deal with here is the difference between submission and obedience. Submission and obedience, okay? So we're going to start in Romans chapter 13, rather, and verse 1. And Rabbi Shaul writes, "Let every person submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist are put in place by God." Now, if you were listening, you probably had some difficulty with that verse. I did. Many people have difficulty with that verse. It says very clearly, all governing authorities have been established by God. No governing authority is not from God, even those that are evil. And it says, every person, everyone, including you and me, is to submit to the governing authorities. So, anybody here struggle with that? It's pretty amazing verse. But first of all, let's look at governing authorities that seem to be evil that we know that God put into place. First one that came to my mind is Nebuchadnezzar. Absolutely filled with pride and evil, but he was God's means of bringing judgment upon Israel. Second one that came to my mind is Pharaoh. God put Pharaoh in place, and he actually says, so that my glory, God's glory, might be revealed, so that I have this strong opposition, and then I'm going to show how great I am because I overcome this opposition. So I know it's hard to accept this when history records so many evil people in positions of authority, especially in governments. Even in our lifetimes and a little bit before, Hitler, Stalin, Mao, Kim Jong-un. But this understanding of God's role in establishing authority is critical to us. And I have to say, I did not make this up. John Bevere did not make this up. The Holy Spirit inspired it, if you believe the Bible is inspired by God. And Rabbi Shaul wrote it down, and it is in the scripture. So I'm not making excuses for it, but when these things happen, and this is something that I try to teach in my classes a lot, is that when you come to something in scripture that really seems difficult, can't understand it, how it doesn't make sense, rather than rejecting it and say, well, I'll just ignore that page of scripture, or blindly accepting it, okay, so I guess this is what we have to do, we need to dig in, pray, and ask God for understanding on what this means and how it applies to us. So what John Bevere revealed, and I can't take credit for it, is that the reason most people find this verse difficult is because they don't understand what the Bible means by submission or to submit. So they're appalled at this command to submit to an evil governing authority. So we're going to look at the meaning of the word submit. Submit in the Greek is the word upotasso, be subject to, respect. So this is so important because if God put in place an authority, to not submit to it is to disrespect that authority that God put in place. So what is that? That's disrespecting God, right? quiet in here. Nobody's agreeing with me. But immediately, all of our minds are thinking, including mine when I first got into this, does that mean I have to obey evil authorities? That's where my mind went. Well, we get clarity on this by going to the book of Hebrews, where the context in the book of Hebrews is different. The context is about authority in the body of Messiah, not government, but in the body of Messiah. And in chapter 13, verse 17, it says this, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." So submissive in this translation in the Greek is the word upikate, and obey is the word pitheste. Very different words. And sometimes I have the inclination when I read two instructive words in the same sentence, just kind of think they mean about the same thing. Anybody else do that? Yeah, that means the same thing. But when the Holy Spirit uses two different words in the same sentence, he has a purpose in doing that. They have two distinct different meanings. Now, we all know what obey means, right? Do what you're told to do. Pretty simple, right? So we should understand that because these two words are used in the same sentence, submit does not necessarily mean the same thing as obey. Anybody see that? So what does submit mean? Well, it means respect. So we are to respect our leaders in the body, it says, and obey them. And presumably, those leaders in the body are not evil people, so obeying them is a reasonable thing to do. Later, we'll discuss exceptions to this command to obey leaders in the body when they direct us to do evil. Now, let me put a caveat in here. I'm not teaching about this because I have felt disrespected by any of you. Okay? If anyone is disrespecting me behind my back, I'm not aware of it. I'm teaching on this because disrespect of authority is rampant in our culture right now. For 4 years, the media has been constantly showing people being disrespectful to our president. And I have to say, our president is also disrespectful to those who attack him. People call mayors, governors, and policemen terrible names, if you've been watching anything on the news. Demonstrations which turn into riots are flagrant examples of disrespect for the authority of the police and government officials. And to bring it closer to home in our current situation with quarantine in place, we are all tempted to follow suit and be disrespectful of authority. Many of us struggle with obeying the instructions our government leaders have given us concerning the quarantine, social distancing, wearing masks, staying home. But going back to Hebrews 13 and verse 17, it ends by saying, if you are not submissive, if you're not respectful, it will be unprofitable to you. And in the Greek, it's the word allositeles, which means also ruinous, detrimental. So, in fact, it is unprofitable to you if you disrespect authority, even if you obey it, because that would be obedience with an ungodly attitude, right? So there's a warning here that it's bad for us to be disrespectful of those in authority. And disrespect for authority moves you out from under God's authority, from under the covering of God's authority. Because, go back to the verse in Romans, remember what it said? When you disrespect the authority that God established, who do you disrespect? God himself. And this opens the door for Satan to attack you and bring destruction and torment. And this can manifest in many ways. Sickness, getting in trouble with authority, conflict with other people, children not submitting to your authority. And another interesting aspect of this, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, the prophet Samuel says, "For rebellion is like the sin of sorcery, and stubbornness like the crime of idolatry." So rebellion, that's disrespect of authority. It's like sorcery. It's like witchcraft. So occult demonic attacks or oppression could also be the result of what? Disrespecting authority. So now that we understand the word submit, let's apply this new understanding to Romans 13:1. And I've got it back up there again on the screen. Let every person submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist are put in place by God. Now, from the context, Rabbi Shaul is clearly talking about government authorities. And as we know, government authority, who knows what government authority was like in Paul's time? Roman Empire, which was about to be persecuting believers, feeding them to lions, all kinds of really, really terrible things, ungodly things, forcing people to worship the Roman gods. But he wrote this, we must submit to them. Now, here's the key. In this verse, only the word is submit is used. Notice that obey does not appear in this verse. You see that? So the Bible teaches we are always to submit, to respect governing authorities in our lives because they're put there by God. But if you've read your Bible, you will know that there are many, many examples of people not obeying government authorities at the direction of God, right? Well, some examples of that. The Israelite midwives disobeyed Pharaoh and refused to kill the infant boys, right? And they were blessed. Daniel refused to stop praying when ordered by the king to stop. And Daniel had three friends who were taken with him as captives to Babylon. And the king of Babylon called on them before him and commanded them to worship at an idol. If they refused, they would be thrown into a blazing furnace. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, we're just going to look at that incident. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, saying, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to answer you concerning this matter. In verse 17, if it is so, our God, whom we serve, is able to save us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Yet even if he does not, verse 18, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image that you set up. Now, the first thing to notice is that these men did not speak disrespectfully to the king. Also notice that they said that even if God did not rescue them, they would refuse to obey the king and only obey God. So the king had the furnace heated especially hot and had them thrown in. And I have a picture of that. And then in verse 25, the king was speaking, look, I see four men walking about unbound and unharmed in the middle of the fire, and the fourth has the appearance like a son of the gods. I believe this is a pre-incarnation manifestation of Messiah Yeshua, a theophany. The three came out of the furnace alive and unburned, including their clothing, which didn't even smell like the fire. In verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar exclaimed, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's edict and gave up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own god. Verse 29, therefore, I hereby decree that any people, nation, or language that says anything slanderous against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be torn limb from limb and their house made a pile of rubble, because there is no other god that is able to deliver in this way. So here's the thing that we need to see here. God used Daniel's friends and a supernatural appearance of the Mashiach, whom the king called an angel, to change the heart of King Nebuchadnezzar. They disobeyed him, but were biblically submitted to him and spoke respectfully to him. So just imagine if instead they had railed at him. You idol-worshiping idiot! How can you worship a statue? We're never going to do anything like that. We know the real God. You're just deceived. And can you imagine if they had said that before he threw them in the fire? The king's heart would not have changed that way if they had railed against him. And now for a new covenant example. In the new covenant, the apostles prayed for a crippled man who was miraculously healed. A crowd gathered, and they told the people that the healing was done in Yeshua's name. They were called before the governmental authorities, the Sanhedrin. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 18, it says this: "So they called them in again and ordered them under no circumstances to speak or teach in the name of Yeshua." Verse 19, "But Kepha and Yochanan answered, 'You must judge whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God.'" Verse 20, "As for us, we can't help talking about what we have actually seen and heard." So what happened here? The apostles refused to obey the authorities, the Sanhedrin, and stopped speaking about Yeshua. But also notice, they spoke respectfully to the Sanhedrin. After they were threatened and released, they praised God and then prayed for continued boldness, signs, and miracles, along with the rest of the disciples, who also refused to obey, and God answered their prayers by physically shaking the place where they were. There are many other examples of believers refusing to obey authorities who command them to do things contrary to God's word. But if you study them, you'll find they disobeyed the people in authority, but they did not disrespect them. They submitted, but did not obey. Examples are David and Rabbi Shaul himself. And how about Yeshua? Yeshua submitted to being tried by the Sanhedrin, but he disobeyed by refusing to deny that he was the Son of God. Sometimes he spoke against his persecutors or his opponents, the Pharisees, saying, "Woe unto you." But he was speaking truth and giving a warning, not just railing against them. So we can apply this understanding to all areas of authority in our lives. We must submit, that is, respect parents, teachers, coaches, employers, police, government officials, pastors, even rabbis. In most circumstances, we are also to obey them. But if they tell us to do something that contradicts God's written word, we must respectfully refuse to obey. And as Daniel's friend said, we should refuse to obey even if God chooses not to rescue us from the consequences of our disobedience. Now, in the early days of the body of Messiah, many chose martyrdom over denying the Lord. That was a direct application of this principle. They refused to obey the Roman authorities and deny the Lord and worship Caesar or the Roman gods. And martyrdom due to disobeying evil is happening today in some parts of the world. Believers are being persecuted by radical jihadists and are refusing to deny Yeshua on the pain of death. And recently, wedding cake bakers and nuns have taken a similar stand when the government has directed them to do something that violates their biblical beliefs. And praise God, the Supreme Court has been standing with them. So, an interesting application of this understanding of submit to peer is to peer relationships. So let's look at that a little bit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 says this very, very significant thing: submit to one another in fear of the Messiah. So if submit means obey, this verse makes no sense. Do you see that? Two people can't obey one another if they want to go in different directions, right? It's logically impossible. But now that we understand submit, this clearly means be respectful of each other, honor each other. It does not mean you have to obey everything another believer tells you to do. Particularly, this is applicable to marriage, since the following verses are all about marriage. So let's just read on a little bit. Chapter 5 and verse 22, "Wives should submit to their husbands, as they do to the Lord." Verse 23, "Because the husband is the head of the wife, just as the Messiah, as head of the Messianic community, is himself the one who keeps the body safe. Husbands, fathers, are to be the head of their family," meaning way back to where we were, that God holds them responsible for all that happens in the family. "And wives should submit," that is, respect their husbands. But wives are not required to obey their husbands when their husband wants them to do something contrary to the word of God. And husbands must also submit to their wives, submit to one another. In other words, respect. And it goes on to say love and honor them. And that includes meeting their needs, taking their opinions seriously, loving them as Messiah loves his body. This also gives us clarity on how to handle a government that is doing evil, like the Nazis. When the government commands us to do evil or to tolerate the evil it does, we must be like those who disobeyed in the Bible, like the Jews who fought the Nazis in the Warsaw Ghetto, like the Jews and Gentiles who fought the Nazis with underground resistance, like the Gentiles who rescued the Jews. But we should not be disrespectful of our enemies. These principles were followed in the pro-life movement and the civil rights movement back in the beginnings of them. And they are still being followed in the pro-life movement. But if you recall, there were instances when people did not follow these principles, and violence and setbacks were the result. If you remember years ago, the shooting of abortion providers set the pro-life movement back. And of course, the Black Panthers promoted violence in the civil rights movement and the current Black Lives Matter movement, where there is all violence involved. And I believe that is setting it back. So we can see our nation going down this road over the past year. Hatred of our president has been disrespectful to a degree I've never seen before in all of my years. And political opponents rail against each other. They sling mud. They slander each other. If you try to watch a lot of the interview shows when they have two opposing people on there, it ends up with people just interrupting each other, calling each other names. I can't even watch those shows anymore. It's so disturbing. Now, this doesn't mean you can't criticize, correct, or reveal the truth about those in authority. It means you should do it respectfully. The Bible also says we should submit, respect godly authority in the body. That is, rabbis, pastors, elders, ministry leaders. But, big but, believers are not required to obey a person in authority in the body if he directs them to do something against the word of God. However, we should not be disobeying just because we disagree with what you're told to do, because you have a better idea or you had a negative experience with it in the past. But the disobeying should only be when it goes against the commands of God. So what else should you do in addition to disobeying if you do have a conflict in the body especially? Well, you're to pray and confront that person respectfully in humility according to Matthew chapter 18. And if necessary, follow the rest of the Matthew 18 process. And if that doesn't work, get out from under that authority telling you to do evil. Now, when I heard John Bevere's teaching on this, the command to respect authority became very real to me personally concerning respecting and honoring government authority. I was heavily convicted that I had disobeyed this command. I couldn't even count the number of times, especially during the Obama years, before that, during the Clinton years. And I had to repent of all the derogatory names I spoke about our presidents, vice presidents, others in government, right down to town governments. Not that they didn't have their faults, but God's words commands us to be respectful because they are in authority. I was also convicted of disrespecting my parents and teachers. Whoa, I gave several teachers many gray hairs. So after I understood what the Bible teaches about respecting authority, I repented, and all of our leaders who watched the video on the subject, all of them also repented of disrespecting authority in their lives. When I first became a believer, I found one of the most profound, dramatic changes in my life was that I experienced a strong desire to demonstrate that I was now under the authority of God by obeying his laws. Anybody else feel that compulsion? Before that, I had always tried to get around God's laws and not get caught. So, when that conviction came upon me, I quickly stopped blaspheming, lying, and hating. But then I remember when I first read Romans 13, verse 1, "Let every person submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist are put in place by God." And the Holy Spirit gave me this revelation that obeying God's laws also meant obeying the laws of the governing authorities, obeying the laws of the land when they did not violate God's laws. And the Holy Spirit also revealed to me that part of our witness to unbelievers is that we obey the laws of the land, even when obeying costs us something. And when I understood that being a law-abiding person is a witness, things changed. If a cashier accidentally undercharged me, I'd come back and give it back to her. I had been cheating on my taxes at the time that I came to the Lord, so I refiled and paid what I owed. I stopped using illegal drugs, even though there's nothing in the Word of God about it, but it was against the laws of the land. And there are many things I realize that I do today that I don't necessarily want to do, but I do those things because they are part of the law of the land. And I know some of you do too. I stop at red lights even when nobody else is there. I hope you do. I buckle my seatbelt. There was a big controversy about that when seatbelts first came out, if you're old enough to remember that. I wear a helmet when I ride my bicycle. I don't talk on my phone when I'm holding it when I'm driving. I get my car inspected every year. I apply for a permit to do renovations in my house. I obey copyright laws concerning music and even scripture. None of these are God's commandments. They're the commandments of men. They're the laws of the land that do not contradict God's commandments. And the Bible tells me that I must obey them. So today, many of us struggle because of where we are in our country and in the whole world. We struggle with submitting and obeying to our government authorities and our landlords. Our landlord here is an authority also, to obeying their directives concerning COVID-19. Some don't believe the government should have the right to tell you what to do. Some don't believe masks help. They believe they're harmful. Some don't believe that staying socially distanced helped. Many want to be able to get back to work, reopen their businesses, go to services where we're not spaced out like this, go to restaurants, movies, malls, pools, gyms. I have some of the same complaints, especially because we don't know how long these things are going to go on. There's no indication of when it's going to stop. But in the light of what we learned today, none of these government directives go against God's word, do they? Especially in our state, where our government specifically permitted churches and synagogues to meet, just requiring social distancing and masks. Now, some doubt the effectiveness of these measures, but as believers, I believe we should be setting an example to others by making every effort to protect lives by obeying the rules. Even if we're not sure the rules are right, at least somebody is trying to make the rules. Now, some struggle with obeying these rules because they believe this increase in government control will lead to the end times control of believers predicted in the scripture. And that this is all part of a conspiracy that will result in us being forced to take the mark of the beast. Well, that's possible. But according to what we learned today, we're to obey until the government's requirements actually violate God's laws. And there's another side to this whole debate about the quarantine. There are many people who don't want to be around people who are not wearing masks or who are not socially distanced because they believe masks do help and prevent the spread of the virus. For them to be around an unmasked person makes them uncomfortable and fearful. So I see an application here of Romans chapter 14 and verse 13. Therefore, let's stop passing judgment on each other. Instead, make this one judgment, not to put a stumbling block or a snare in a brother's way. Okay. So if you're not wearing a mask in public, there are people who will be uncomfortable being near you. Actually be afraid. Now, let me say, if there's a reason you can't wear a face mask, like you have trouble breathing, you can come to this service. We have a place in the back where you can sit if you can't wear a face mask. And we will not judge your reason. If you feel you can't wear one, that's between you and God. Just please sit in the non-face mask section. Now, I know many of you have disobeyed God's command to respect authorities because it's just so much a part of our culture. Certainly concerning the government, perhaps other authorities, teachers, parents, coaches, employers, pastors, rabbis. And I believe that has left you open to experience things that are unprofitable, detrimental, ruinous in your life. So I'm going to pray and ask you all who are here and those of you who are watching online to agree with us to break that off of us. Anything that could have come on us that, let me just take a little survey here. Anybody else also willing to own up to the fact that they've been disrespectful to authorities in their lives? Okay, I'm seeing just about every hand. I can't see you out there in internet land, but I suspect that that's happening too. And that was me. That was me. And the Holy Spirit continues to bring me up short on it. So let's pray. Father, your word says that your ways are not our ways. And this is one where it is just so against human nature that you command us this. And so I just pray, Father, you'd help us to receive what your word says here. It's very simple, that all those in authority have been placed there by you. We find it hard to comprehend, but that's what it says, Lord. And so, Father, we just, at this time, we recognize that we have disrespected those in authority. Government officials, police, parents, teachers, employers, pastors, rabbis, elders, ministry leaders. And Father, especially in this time of quarantine, when our government has been issuing directives that significantly affect our lives, and when their directives are so frequently changed, and we don't know how long these directives are going on. So we continue to pray for an end to this pandemic and these quarantines. But we also take responsibility right now for falling to that temptation to disrespect those in authority whose job it is to protect people from this virus and all the other things that are going on with authority. And so we would repent of disrespecting government, police, parents, teachers, employers, pastors, rabbis, elders, all those in authority, Father. We repent of that. We ask you to forgive us in Yeshua's awesome name, to count his sacrifice to pay our penalty. And we receive, Lord, your forgiveness for us. We receive that you say, remove our sins as far as the east is from the west. And now, in the name of Yeshua, and you can just say this along with me under your breath, I renounce disrespect. I renounce rebellion, division, sorcery, divination, witchcraft, idolatry, in the name of Yeshua, any other spirits that are associated with this, I renounce those spirits, rebellion, disobedience, hatred, bitterness. I renounce those spirits in the name of Yeshua. Unforgiveness in the name of Yeshua. And now in the name of Yeshua, which is above every name at which every knee must bow, I command these spirits of rebellion and disrespect and division and sorcery and divination, witchcraft and idolatry to leave all who are hearing my voice right now in the name of Yeshua to go into their dry places and stop troubling us and stop tormenting us and stop manipulating against us in the name of Yeshua. And we thank you, Lord, that your word says you have given us authority over all the forces of the evil one. Thank you, Lord. And now, Father, we pray for healing for all of us of any things that have had the power to harm us due to our disrespect for authority. We pray for your healing touch, Father, whatever those things are. If you need healing, if you're in the room right now, just raise your hand. I just want to pray specifically, Lord, you see these hands. We don't know whether this was a cause of whatever happened, but we pray right now for your healing touch on every person whose hand is raised here. And if you're out there in internet land, just raise your hand. We pray for healing for every person whose hand is raised right now. Physical healing for anything that has been attacking them and anything that got any power over them due to their disrespect for authority in Yeshua's mighty name. And Father, we ask now that you would give us the gift of discerning of spirits to be able to discern if any of those spirits try to get back and tempt us to disrespect authority once again. And we ask, Lord, that you would just renew our minds, refill us with your Holy Spirit to the overflowing, and that you would bring us to the point where we would be able to walk out the rest of our lives with this respect for authority, and also with the understanding that we don't need to obey when the authority is giving us ungodly direction. So we thank you for that, Father, and we just rejoice in your deliverance in the awesome name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen.